You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Now we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in 1 Corinthians today, chapter 12, verses 27 through 31. In verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has sent some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, right. Well, we've got our technology going now, and hopefully everything will be recorded. It's good to be here this morning. Let's open with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee again for this opportunity, Lord, to open the scriptures, to read, understand, and to be enlightened. We thank thee, our Father, for this ministry which has been ongoing here for some number of years, Lord. And we ask you to bless and guide it. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, right. Well, Ephesians chapter 4 is where we're up to. And by the way, I've been to this really neat thing, which is a conference basically about things that are going on in America and the basis of the Constitution and the United States. I've learned a whole lot of things going to this, and I'm really fired up about it, really, about what's going on. And we've got a battle on our hands, and I want to be a part of it. I don't know about you, but I like a fight. And we've got a good one coming on here. And you know, I was thinking about Oklahoma. Oklahoma is really in a great position to be in this fight, because out of all the states, it seems that Oklahoma has such a big percentage of rowdy Christians, you know, and Christians who are prepared to stand by the stuff. And so I think this is going to be a good place for the United States to take back what it deserves and should have under the Constitution. So I think this is a really great place to be, and I'm excited about it. But let's get back to the real meat of the word. We're basically in here in Ephesians 4. There's a great amount of material which I have learnt, and I want to pass it on to you. Really, the Bible is so unique in its structure and how it has come about. And it's really a tremendous note to its inspiration when you see this kind of structure and you think about how it's come about. We looked at this idea of the gospel according to John and how different it is from all the other gospels, and how does that come into our discussion? Well, it comes into our discussion because of this basic reason. I just love these shots, you know. Bang! Yeah, I need to be woken up, you know. Anyways, there is this Greek word, kuiothesia. And this word here comes from kuios, which means son. And this word thesia comes from another word, tephane, which means to place. And so you basically get the meaning of this word is to place as a son. We translate this quite commonly as adoption. Adoption. And it's used five times in the New Testament. Five times. And it's very instructive to see how this relates to what we're talking about, because if you look at the usage of this, you can find very clearly three adoptions which are related to three separate callings. And you know, when there's a calling coming out from God, and he's calling us, we want to respond. But if he's calling to some other group, and then you respond to that, you show up to that, you know, hey, Israel, come over here. And then you as the Gentile, you come walking up. Well, you're not invited.
You're trying to get in on someone else's calling. So it's very instructive to look at this and think about these three separate adoption related to these three separate callings. So we'll do that right now. Let's just quickly look at this because it relates to John again.
John is kind of interesting and unique in the way it's written, and especially in relationship to this idea of adoption. If you look at the first one, which is in Romans chapter 9, we'll go there first. This is sort of getting you up to steam about this whole matter of the callings. Paul begins that way. While you're turning there to Romans 9, I'll just read you the first verse of chapter 4 of Ephesians. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The calling wherewith ye are called. So the worthy walk must come from something related to this calling. You're going to walk worthy of something. And this must be something great. So it's the calling wherewith you're called. So you better know your calling. Otherwise, you haven't got a hope of making a correct walk. So here in Romans chapter number 9, we come to verse 5. Well, we'll start from verse 1, just to get some context. I say the truth in Christ. This is Romans 9:1. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the huiathesia, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. Look at that beautiful passage. And this should show you the tremendous high point for Israel. All that it's given, which includes the adoption. And if we go back and we look at that particular adoption, and it relates to all these tremendous blessings, you'll find things like the land. This great land grant, which even at this present time, there's a lot of fight going on. You know, clouds over America have brought up some issues here about the land. What's going on with the border? I thought that was one of the most tremendous and sad talks that I listened to about what's going on in our southern border. Man, what's going on there? And that's a terrible thing. And land for Israel, too, is so much going on with that. But we know that there is a tremendous land grant between the two rivers given to Israel. It's part of the promise given to Israel. And they will receive it once they have been kicked around and gone through Jacob, the time of Jacob's trouble. And they will repent. And there will be blessing coming in there. And that relates to a tremendous adoption that's given to Israel. That's the context of Romans 9. And Paul's saying, hey, okay, the branches have been broken off, but Israel has not been forgotten. And he's dealing with it. Great blessings there. Tremendous ones. We won't deny that. But we're not going to take it to ourselves, right? We see it. We recognize it.
But it's not ours. Right?
We're not going to steal someone else's stuff. That's what people want to do these days. Well, there's a good talk too on, you know, protecting yourself. You know, how it's a God-given right that you should be able to protect yourself. Talking about thieves. Okay, that's Romans 9. Galatians, let's go across to another passage. Okay, we're still in the book of Acts. See, Romans is in the book of Acts. Israel is first. And now we're going to go to Galatians, just before Ephesians. So we're going to Galatians and we'll look here at chapter 4. And verse 4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son,
made of a woman, made under the law, look at this, verse 5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons.
The adoption, but we get to see it. Okay, here comes another adoption. And you notice, it's in the context that he comes to Israel, that we, and he includes those in this time period, we probably call the book of Acts. So during that time of the book of Acts, you know, you've got this context that God is doing things with Israel, and then Paul says that we might receive the adoption of sons. We might receive the adoption of sons. That's in the book of Acts. Israel is first. What do we know about this particular adoption? Let's find out
about some of this tremendous calling associated with the adoption. This is in chapter 4 and verse 25. Let's read that. Chapter 4, verse 25 of Galatians. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
Hey, wait. Now here comes the other adoption. There's certain blessings here. And it's New Jerusalem. NJ. It's not OJ. New Jerusalem. Here it is. Mother of us all. That's the context. The we and the us relates to that time in the book of Acts. Don't steal, man! Don't steal. Leave it where it is. Accept the teaching. Learn from it. But don't steal. Right? One of the basic Ten Commandments. So, blessings, New Jerusalem. Hey, there's more said about this. You can read a lot more about this in the book of Hebrews. Let's have a look at that. I think it's about Hebrews 11, we'll find it.
Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go across there. Tremendous passage. And it would be around about Hebrews 11, verse 22. Look at this. And goes on, says this. Let's see. It's chapter 12, verse 22. Chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all men, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator, look, of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
Well, there's lots of better things. We're finding them here. But you notice this New Jerusalem is connected to Jesus, the mediator of the New Covenant. New Covenant. So that's in Hebrews chapter 12. Well, that should have, you know, 12, you know, in chapter 12. Okay, so that's great.
Well, fine. I find two fantastic adoptions, great callings, blessings, I love it. But neither one of those two are mine. So I'm not going to steal them. What are mine? What are my blessings? Okay, here we go. Let's find the next use of the word adoption. This comes in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 5 says this, Ephesians 1, we've read this before. It says, having predestinated, that's marked out as a horizon. You know, there is a predestination.
We have a predestination where there is this tremendous marking out of boundaries. We want to know what those boundaries are. We want to be constructive and productive, and to be constructive and productive, we better know the boundary. Don't you teach that to your kids? You teach your kids, this is the line, you jump over that, and there's going to be trouble. And what does a kid do? he jumps over the line. So what are you going to do? Boot! Right? You've got to put the board of education to the seat of learning. Now, man, when I was growing up in New Zealand, in high schools, they had corporal punishment. Okay? Now, when I say corporal punishment, I'm talking about English corporal punishment. Now, if you know anything about the English and in terms of education, traditional stuff, they are ready to beat the hide out of you, you know? And they used to use canes. Not just round, solid canes. About a meter and a half long. Big guys, some of these teachers. You do something wrong, suits of the best. Hey, they don't just hit you. They're going to hit you 6 times. What do? They bend your ass over a chair, right? So your pants are tight. You know, we used to try and put pillows in there and all sorts. It wouldn't work because as soon as you bend over, you just got, you know, split your pants or whatever. And these guys, they're muscular, big guys. They take a run at you. This is just one caning, right? And you can hear this thing going through the air, man. It's whistling. And the last 10 centimeters or so of it must be going up some rate. And when it hits your backside, blue welt immediately. That's just one of 6. He hasn't finished. Mr. Gorilla hasn't finished. He's going to lay in another 5. You cannot sit down. Right? How do you understand? Anyway, so there's this.
Experience.
Yeah.
Oh no, I was a real angel, you know. I never did anything wrong.
But anyway, I'm telling you, that was when, you know, boundaries were clearly made. You step over the boundaries, whack. Hey, we need to know what the boundaries are for how we are going to be productive as Christians. That's what right division does for us. It sets up the boundaries. It allows us to see God's predestination. You know, pro horizo. Mark out before these horizons. And it says this, as we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption, there it is, huiothesia, to place as a son, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
Not my will, not my idea. Here is another adoption. And yes, there are blessings here, and these ones are ours. These are ours, man. If you will receive the gospel. Now here's the thing that I have learned. And I'll tell you my assumptions that I did hold to up until now. Throughout my Christian life. This is what I believed happened. And I'm talking about, you know, once I came to the knowledge of a lot of right division. This is what I believe. I believe that when you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you did that, you were placed into this body. Here. The body of which Christ is here. That by faith, that's what happened. Now, I've had to revise that because of what we read in Ephesians 3 says and follow. And the reason why I think this is an important thing is because it impinges on this whole idea of what hope do you have? If you look at Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse 6, it says this, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, sun clay chronomous, sun clay chronomous. It says, fellow heirs, and of the same body, susoma, and partakers of his promise, sumatoka. In Christ, by the gospel. By the gospel. That's how it's done. By the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, whom less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach. To preach as a gospel. That's what it means. To preach as a gospel among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. This is not the gospel of how that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. That's not it. Okay, so what do we have? Okay, we have the gospel of your salvation. You hear the gospel somehow. Radio. I have to transport my boy up to Dell each morning. In fact, and then I go and I'm listening to the radio. I have all sorts of things I'm listening to. And it's quite a blessing to hear the gospel being presented on many stations. So it's quite conceivable, for example, that a person could be driving in their car and for the first time they really do hear the gospel and they say, yes, they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they are saved. Right, salvation comes to them. Right, next question. Where are they headed? Where are they headed? Well, if you read the Gospel according to John, you'll find that a person receives life through the Lord's name. And in the context, that life is delineated in the eight signs in
that particular Gospel. And that relates to being a guest. A guest at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There is no adoption
in the book of Job. There is no quia fasia there. It's not there. You get life. It's the most fundamental thing. You gain life through his name. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what happened to me? Well, a little bit later on, I hear another gospel. A gospel which is, we've just read there in Ephesians 3:6. I hear it. That's me. That's me. And what happens then is, I get put into the body. I receive that truth. And God, in response to that, says, all right. And here is this tremendous adoption that I want to give to you in grace. Okay. But we have to face this truth, don't we? We have to face the truth that there are some people who will hear the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ and will not receive it. They say no. What's going to happen to them? Well, they have life. They are the guests. They are the ones who, in the book of John chapter 10, Jesus Christ says, other sheep I have, them also I must bring. You are not of this fold. I've got to bring them. Okay, they're brought in. But this thing here, as great as this particular adoption is and this calling, great. That's great. It's not ours, though. This one here, which is to do with the New Jerusalem, that's great. I love it. But it's not ours. This is the one that's ours. But it's only ours on the provision that you believe the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ. You won't hear the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ unless someone preaches it, unless someone opens it to it, or you find it in the scriptures yourself. But there comes a time when you've got to say yay or nay to this. Does this explain a lot of what we see in the world today? Yes, it does. In my own experience as a pastor, it explains a lot of stuff that's going down, man. And like this, you'll get someone that will come into the fellowship. They might come in for all sorts of reasons. They might come in because they're chasing a girl. Or it's a girl chasing a boy. Or it might be that they like some of the things that are happening in the church. But when it comes to the truth of the preaching of the unsearchable riches of Christ, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's going in here, but it's rattling around and it's just going straight on out again. They can sit there for years, man. But all this time, no, they do not see their adoption into this great blessing. They have life through his name. They trusted Christ, but unfortunately for them, they do not accept that great high truth. It explains a lot of things that I see. I've come to this position. It's not something that I have just easily come to. I've been thinking about it, looking at the scriptures, and I've come to this position. Okay, so that's huiothesia. So that's why we've been looking at this gospel according to John and why it makes some import on our topic, because it talks about life, talks to the Gentiles.
And I talked about this, that, you know, it's based on the fact that Israel rejected Jesus. He came to his own things, and his own people received him not. And there's these eight signs. You notice the first one, the marriage at in Cana, which, of course, is interesting because the guests are the guests of the marriage supper. And in John 20, it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." The most basic, nondescript statement of life. Life. That's what John's about. Life. It's a great book to show Jesus Christ, his deity, his power, what he has done. Yes, life. But if you want to know about an adoption, then, my friends, you've got to hit Ephesians. So, what do we have? What do we have? Well, we've got this basically going on then. We have, in this age, we have Gentiles being addressed. And you have Paul addressing them. Paul, the prisoner. And outlining tremendous hope and blessing as he delineates in Ephesians, for example. And then you've got John also. But he, what he's doing now is he's just presenting life. Life through his name. Paul is addressing life through his name and then taking people on unto this great purpose of God in terms of the heavenly places. Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Totally different. And different aspect. So, Paul, the prisoner, what do you see? Are you a part of the group of which Paul talks about, the body of whom Christ is head? Where are you? Well, my friends, have you received the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ? That's what I would ask. And if you have, then you'll be like me. You say, thank God, I see my place in the purpose of God. Okay, that's cool. Now, if you go to Ephesians 4, and verse 1, it says this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you." Beseech. Beseech means to call alongside. Beseech. Parakaleo. To call alongside. He says, the prisoner of the Lord. Yeah. So one thing you can see already is, if you want real, strong, hard, straight shooting truth, then what you've got to do is you've got to come alongside not just Paul. No. But Paul the prisoner. You come along Paul alongside Paul the prisoner, and you're going to get some really straight truth. Beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. What calling is yours? What is yours, man? You've got to find your calling. See this in Matthew 22. He sent out his servants. They would not come. And again, he sent out other. And they made light of his servants and slew some of them. So what did he do in response to it? He burned up the city. And then what did he say? Okay, go into the highways and byways and pick up those both good and bad, man. Now, I don't know about you, but there's something funny about this. There is something that makes me happy about the calling that I have. Because you can't help but say there's something second best about this. You know, the people who were called wouldn't come. You know, can you imagine it? The people who were deliberately called says, nah, won't come, nah, don't want that. Oh, okay, well, go out in the highways and byways. You just imagine the scene. There's some guy with a brown paper bag with a bottle in it on the side. You want to come? Sure, yeah, I'll go. Yeah. Someone else over here, you want to come? Go into the highways and byways. So there it is. There's that third calling which relates to after the book of Acts. Okay, and he goes on here. He says in verse 2, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." Bang, oh man. Verse 2, hard. This is the hardest thing in the world, isn't it? We read this, but this verse 2
will get you. This is the hard one, man. Because you notice how I talked about this particular calling here, and I just spoke what I perceived to be the truth, that it doesn't seem to be, you know, a great calling. But, my friends, it is something. It's life. Now, here in verse 2, it says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And he's talking about the Christian congregation. That's how we should go about our lives. And you know where it says here, with all lowliness? Now, the Greek word behind this has the idea of something that grows up to a very small height. You know, like a little shrub or something, grows up to a little height. And it doesn't go any further than that. We all have pride, right? And we all perhaps think of ourselves as being something, you know. But it is a part of our calling to bring ourselves down and to look at people in love with meekness and long-suffering, forbearing in love. Verse 3. And I'm not going to say any more about that, but that is the hard one. Verse 2 is the real hard passage to practically do. And it says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep. When it says endeavoring, that's the same word that's used in 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Study. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now this word bond, you just had this come up in verse 1 where it says the prisoner. Isn't it interesting that there has been the slashing of the enmity between the Jew and the Gentile, this tremendous body being formed, the great truth that you've read about the unity. But he says here, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond. In the bond. So, while certain bonds are broken, other bonds are made. The bond of peace. And you'll find this unity comes up over and over again in this passage. And when you think about the strength of unity, boy, is that something we need in this nation. And isn't it true that Satan is using the breakdown of unity to get his way? Man, got to get back to the core framework. We talk about American exceptionalism, right? American exceptionalism. For me as a foreigner coming in and trying to understand what that means, what I take of this and what I believe it means after I've read through a lot of things is this. American exceptionalism relates to the framework that has been put down, this great liberty experiment that has been placed down, and you find in the Constitution and various statements of the Founding Fathers, which allows for freedom and liberty to reign. You know, it allows the people, the ones who really have the real say. And it's that framework which allows exceptionalism to develop from all sorts of people who are Americans. Well, they're people from all over Europe and all around the world, aren't they? They're people just like me. Well, not quite like me. But you know what I'm saying? People from all over the world. And how then are they to be exceptional? Because they, as human beings, are somehow better than other. But they're just the same as other human beings. No, what happens is they come to America and they find this tremendous framework of liberty which has been placed down by the forefathers who came here for religious freedom so that they would not be under some tyranny, so they would have freedom, and they too can take part in this framework where they can find exceptionalism. Isn't that right? That's my belief about American exceptionalism. Now I know President Obama is trying to deny it, but you can't change history, man. That's the reality. Oklahoma, man, that's where we take it back. Right? That's where we take it back. No, I'm serious. That's where we're going to take this whole thing back. Now, in Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 17, there is this great structure. I'm just looking at the time here, and I haven't even got halfway through what I have prepared. Now, look at this.
You've got these tremendous unities. Look at verses 3 to 6. Unity. Then there's this measure. You know, in mathematics, we have a study called measure theory. And it's interesting, this word metron comes up here, measure. Unity, sevenfold. Measure, down here. Unity of the faith, sevenfold. Measure. Unity of the body, sevenfold. Measure. How did that come about? How? Inspiration, man! The inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can explain that, my friend. The Apostle Paul sitting there in prison, dictating. Someone writing down his words, and this pops out. Hey, I can find things about Paul and his writing style. Yes. But to think that this kind of structure just pops out as he's dictating. No, my friends. No, no. This is God speaking through Paul. You know? And he's getting his way, that's God's getting his way through Paul and his style and coming out with this tremendous truth. You see, as you get down in here, look at in verse 4, it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope you're called. I wanted to get into the body. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there's a body there, man. And people say, that's us! Hey, wait a minute. If that's us, my friends, where's the gifts? Because that body is constructed on the basis that there are all these gifts that are working together, and the body is used to show how all these gifts are working together in unity. So if that's your body, if that's what we're a part of, where's your gift, man? Where is it? What's your Holy Spirit gift? You got the gift of resurrection, have you? You're going around healing people, are you? Well, I've got a job for you if you're doing that. We can take a trip to the hospital, man, and we can clean it out in God's name, right? So don't come to me telling me, oh no, I've got this gift. Then come to me, man. I've got a job for you. You just imagine if right here we really did have these gifts going. Man, you wouldn't stop people from busting the doors down to get in here. Because they know reality. And they'll know when their dead child is raised to life again. They'll know it, man. And when you go out to some grave, you see, people just walk away. Oh, so much for that funeral. It's all over. Yeah, you just got resurrected. You know? No, that body does not exist today. That body, people can be eyes in that body. You can be a part of the head. But in the body of Ephesians chapter 1 and 2, you'll find that body, Christ is the head and the church is the body. You cannot, in that metaphor, be the head. You got it? It's a different body. We're going to get into that next time because we're out of time. The most exciting book in the world. Man. The most exciting place to be. Oklahoma, man. Okay, let's pray. Hey God and Father, we thank Thee for this time. All that we've learnt. All that we can share with others. Lord, we pray for the grace to do it, the boldness to do it, because we know that in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2, the hardest verse, where it states that with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, Lord, we pray that we can do that. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.